Our series is Dangers, Toils, and Snares. Last week considered something in the dangers and snares category. We talked about grumbling, certainly a big danger and a snare for Israel. So today, consider something in the toils category. I want you to think of your loved ones. Think of the people that you would say you love. At times, I think we assume that we get to decide who's on the list of loved ones. Like I get to decide who's on my list of loved ones. You audition and meet the criteria, you can be one of my loved ones. But I get to decide who's on my list of loved ones. But we need to remember the scripture is not at all shy about telling us who it is that we should love. Scriptures tell us to love our neighbor. Scriptures tell us to love one another. So your loved ones, these folks that I want you to think about, they should not be just a list that's generated by yourself. You yourself generated, these people meet the criteria, so they're my loved ones. Your loved ones should be a list that's been determined by the Lord. The list of people that He has told you to love. I want you to think about those people. Think about those people that you are commanded to love. And what I want to do today is I want to explore the content of a phrase that I mentioned a couple weeks ago when we talked about just working hard and noticed how prominent that was in the scripture. That when you get grace, grace gives you something to do and you can work hard, employing and using the grace. But one of the phrases that we just noticed in passing last week is found in the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians. So it's the opening of 1 Thessalonians, Paul. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Paul commends the Thessalonians for their faith, their hope, and their love, the big three. He commends them for their work of faith. He commends them for their steadfastness in hope. But he commends them also for their labor of love. And the word that's translated labor there is that word for work hard, toil. He commends the Thessalonians for the hard work that their love has caused them to do. So I just want us for a few minutes to think about the hard work each one of us needs to do. The hard work that each one of us must do to love your loved ones. In a sense, here's the message in two sentences. We just sang a couple of songs that speak of the Lord's love for us. And we said, because of your love, because of the Lord's love, because the Lord indeed loved us, He worked. He did some things. Things are different for us because the Lord loved us. And in His love, He worked. He did some things. Because of His love, we're forgiven. Because of His love, our hearts are clean. Because of His love, we're changed forever. So we're really glad, A, that the Lord loved us, and that because He loved us, He did some things. So loved the world that He sent His Son. The message for today is, what might your loved ones say is true for them because of your love? That's the message in a nutshell. Because of your love for them. What? What has that love moved you to do? To labor at, the toil that it's made you to do. One of my primary hopes, one of my primary prayers for you, is that you would be a good lover. That's probably not news to many of you. I think it's very prominent in the scripture. Paul tells us that above all other things, After he's given a list of all kinds of things we should put on when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, above all that, put on love. Of course, he calls love the greatest of that big three of faith, hope, and love. Peter urges us to be fervent in our love. John urges us, as beloved, to love one another, for love is of God. When you receive the Spirit of God, the love of God was poured out in your heart. I want one of the main things for you to do, having received the Spirit of God, is to love. I want you to be a good lover. To be a good lover, you have to be good at doing the toil of love. You have to be good at doing the labor of love. You have to do the work, the hard work that loving requires. So if the Apostle Paul followed you around for a month, I very much hope he would find reason to commend you for your labor of love. He says, I followed you around for a month, and I see that the love that's in you causes you to labor. I always remember that. I give thanks to God for that. I'm going to draw a little bit on 1 Corinthians 13 for a few thoughts on what we will do if we toil, if we labor out of love. So I want to use these just well-known verses. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own, is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I'm not even going to talk about all of the things here, but I want to just use these words and draw from some of Paul's comments here about love. What love does in its labor. What work love sends us to. 1 Corinthians 13 is not a chapter written to instill and impart love to those who don't have it. Rather, 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter that simply describes and celebrates things that love does when it's present. Sometimes what love does is expressed negatively, because love eliminates and removes what might otherwise be in the picture. Sometimes what love does is expressed positively, that which love adds to the picture, that which love makes present in the picture. So as I share a few thoughts, and as we all think about those whom we are commanded to love, as we think about our loved ones, I actually hope a few times to generate this kind of response in you, this type of internal response in you, that you do something like this. Roger, you asked me to think about loved ones. You got me thinking about so-and-so. You got me thinking about Fred. And I do love Fred. And my love for Fred makes me want to do such and such for him because I love him. But it's so much work to do such and such. Exactly. I hope you have that type of sequence of thought. You've got me thinking about this guy, this gal. I do love that person. And that love does stir me to kind of do something, but man, it's so much work to do that for that person. Exactly. It's called the labor of love. I hope you do something like that. When I love Fred, I have to endure a lot of things. When I love Fred, I have to endure a lot of things. It's a lot of work to keep enduring all that needs to be endured to love Fred. It would be a lot less labor if I could just have some short-lived endurance. It might be an oxymoron, of course, but if I could just have short-lived endurance with some of those things about Fred, that would be a lot less work, a lot less labor. And short-lived endurance over just a few things rather than that endures all things. thing, you know, just a few select items. It would be less labor if you change the verse to read, love has short-lived endurance for a few things. NIV. Love has short-lived endurance for a few things. Because it's so much more work to endure all things. So those are the kinds of things I want you to think about as you connect it up to your loved ones, people you're commanded to love. I'd like you to consider these things here from a couple of angles. First, maybe the labor of love is doing everything on this list for just one person in order to love that person. You got to do every one of those things for that person, maybe over the course of time. You love Fred, and over time with Fred, you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to be kind to Fred. You're going to have to be not provoked by Fred. You're going to have to believe all things for Fred, endure all things, not take into account any wrong that Fred has done to you. You're going to have to do all those things over the course of time to love Fred. So take it from that angle, willing to do all those things for just one person whom you love. But also, you might need to just focus on one of these things in order to love a particular person in your life. Maybe in order to love one person in your life, you have to just bear a lot of things to love that person. Because that person carries a lot of baggage. And to love that person, you have to always be bearing all of that baggage. And so it's really important just to love that one person if you know how to bear things. So maybe there's just one thing on the list. You say, that really helps me to know to what I need to do labor-wise, hard work-wise, to love so-and-so. So think of the people that you love, people that you're commanded to love. Probably that group that you're commanded to love is a pretty diverse, pretty mixed group. Some of the people in that group think like you. Some of them don't think like you. Some of those people in that list manage their lives very well. Others on that list create a lot of drama. Some of the people that you're commanded to love, they are steadfast and strong. Others are weak and flaky. Some of the people you have to love are quiet. Others talk a lot, maybe too much. Some of the people you love will have interests similar to your own. Some are going to enjoy stuff that you don't enjoy. Some whom you love will travel light. Others are always dragging along lots of baggage. Some whom you love are steady and consistent. Others are unpredictable and moody. So the people that you need to love, your loved ones, probably a pretty diverse, pretty varied, pretty mixed group. And the message today is just let love move you to the work you have to do to be one who loves that person. So let's just briefly, again, I'm not even going to touch all these things here in these few verses of 1 Corinthians. But just maybe as we move through this list, and hopefully it'll remind you as you think of your loved ones, you know, I should do that for so-and-so. I should just be patient with so-and-so. If it seems like it's a lot of work to do that for so-and-so, that's the point. It's called the labor of love. The first two, love is patient, love is kind. Love does what God does. Because the Lord, two things said repeatedly in describing the Lord in the Old Testament, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. The Lord is patient. The Lord is kind. Love does what God does. The first one is a more passive response, to be patient. The second is more active. So take the first one. With whom do you just need to be patient? Anybody? Just wait. Stay close. Hang in there. Just wait. Be patient. You know, maybe you need to be patient because the person's just not ready yet. Maybe they can't see it yet. They just don't see it. Maybe they don't quite dare. They've stood at the edge of the pool for like 22 days now. Are you going to jump in? Just be patient. They don't quite dare yet. They're still unconvinced. You'll still have doubts. Maybe you've talked about it with them multiple times. You may have thought, I thought we already decided about that. I thought that was settled for you. But with that person, to love them, you got to do that hard work. Just be patient. Just be patient. Wait. So who does that remind you of? Take the second one. Now, where does your labor of love, need to move you to show loving kindness? Well, that person needs you to send something their way. They don't just need you to wait passively. They need to send them something. Give them something. Give them some kindness. You can't just stay quiet. You can't just wait in the wings. That person needs you. They need something from you. You got to send them something. Give them something. So send them some kindness. Maybe that's a note or a letter, you know, an email. Maybe it's an invitation to coffee or a hug. But send them some love. Send them some kindness. So where does your love need to just be active? A person needs something from you. A lot of work to give it. But send them that. The next things on that list up there are expressed negatively. If the first two things remind us that love does what God does, God is patient and kind. Love in us makes us patient and kind. This list of negative things reminds us that love does not do what humans do. It's a pretty cool list, actually. Humans tend to constantly be adding to the picture arrogance and boasting and provocations and wrongs suffered that have been taken into account and all that stuff. Humans just naturally do that. They add those things to the picture. But you can't be a good lover if you just do what humans tend to do. And part of the labor of love is that you don't add into the picture what's not good. And your pride and your arrogance, your offense, that doesn't add good things to the picture. Part of the labor of love is keeping all those things out of the picture. Sometimes the work that has to be done to do something in love is just to forget about and minimize yourself. Is that true or not? If your own self and your own stuff dominates the radar, you will not be a good lover. If you're just seeking your own, worried about what's in it for you, what praise will come to you. I don't want to linger on this point today because I want the weight to fall someplace else. But when you are a mess, you're not going to be a good lover. You probably have proved that in your experience, right? Times when you were a mess, you weren't a good lover. Because you're too hung up on your own stuff, too occupied with your own stuff, you know, too zeroed in on your own stuff. Sometimes the labor of love means letting God's grace, letting God's love help you. Help you with your self-centeredness, help you with your pride, help you with your stubbornness, so that those things can drop away and they don't color the picture. So a lot more could be said there, but there that sometimes to be a good lover, you gotta like teach you not to do what humans do and how humans are. You put different content there. Love is not provoked. The labor of love includes loving people who do things that bug you. Maybe somebody's always late. And you're never late. And somebody who's always late, it bugs you. Like, why are they always late? Right? It can cool your love, can it? You're all looking really holy now. People who do things that bug you can, you know, just cool the love that you have for them. Do you ever find somebody, something's always wrong with the situation or the setting? It's too hot, it's too cold, too bright, too dark. Something's always wrong with the setting. And you say, you know, I used to love you. Then I got so sick of you complaining about the setting all the time, it just provoked me. Love is not provoked. And you have to know how, when people do things that bug you, not for you to just no longer do any labor, any toil on behalf of that person, because you've been provoked, you've been stirred. Loving people, being a good lover, does not mean always operating in ideal circumstances. Being a good lover means that you can operate in difficult circumstances, that you can operate in a hostile environment. If you only love people who never provoke you, you have a smaller list of loved ones than you ought to have. You got to figure out how to love people who do things that push your buttons. So maybe there's somebody that on your list of loved ones, and they do things that are provocations. Don't let it provoke you and steal your labor. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. There's some people that I love. If you ask me, I don't know if they've ever done me wrong. You know, they got a pretty stellar track record. But then, of course, there are others. And getting wrong just seems to go with the territory. It's very important when you find that person regularly does you wrong to not take it into account. Don't mark it down. Don't keep a ledger. We'll keep a record of it. Just let it pass. So it's okay, you had wrong suffered, now it's gone. Has anyone that's on your loved one's list? Again, you do less labor now because of the wrongs that you suffered from that person. You know, I used to do a lot for that person out of my love. I do a lot less now because I've been had wrongs done to me too many times. Part of the hard work of love is to not take account of the wrong suffered and keep laboring. Then you get to a set of four. Great things. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I think those things overlap and intertwine with each other, but each one of them, I think, provides something insightful concerning the labor of love. Bears things. Love bears things. Bears a lot of things. Bears all things. A labor of love involves carrying things. Carrying weakness, carrying faint-heartedness, carrying unfulfilled desires and expectations. You might be like have a loved one where your expectations are different than his or hers. You want to really be close. That person doesn't want to be very close. Or you want to be a little bit more distant. That person wants to be close. So just how do you carry that? Just the expectations are different. Carrying burdens. Bearing burdens. Perhaps something shared. You know that person is burdened about that. You share that burden. But perhaps you have a burden for that person didn't know about. It's unknown. You know, you ache for something for that person and they don't yet see it. They don't yet feel it. They don't even know it. But you just have to carry that. So bear things. Love has to just carry things, sometimes for a long time. Believes things. Believes all things. The labor of love never leaves God out of the picture. Never. when you labor in love, you always keep believing the difference that God can make. And perhaps there's a person. If you get too focused on their perspective, their talents, their abilities, how they conduct themselves, if you're just focused on that person, you're tempted to, nothing's going to happen here. But being a good lover means keeping in mind what God can do in the situation. For every person that you love, keep in mind what God, not what that person can do, but what God can do in that situation. Never lose sight of that. Hope's all things. A good lover does not see the past as decisive. A good lover does not see even the present as decisive. A good lover knows that what the future can hold can be decisive. Is there anybody that you're tempted not to work too hard at loving because they're hopeless? You know, I know about their past. I mean, how many times we've been around this mountain? Kind of like they're hopeless. I mean, if the past tells us anything, it's good. They're not going to change. Hello? They're just too stuck. Got too many hang-ups. You know, their third grade teacher yelled at them too much. I don't know what happened, but since then, not going to happen. Love hopes all things. What happened in the past is not decisive. You know, even what's where you are presently is not decisive. What can come in the future? That. Decisive. You never dropped from the screen. So there might be somebody on your loved one list. You feel like they're hopeless. You know, I'm sick of loving this person. I'm worn out loving this person because they got so many things in their past that just keep overtaking them and you keep running them down. They've been run over by that truck from the past so many times. Why labor anymore? But love hopes all things. And then the last one endures all things. The labor of love involves putting up with things. Sometimes you think, you know, that wouldn't be my first choice, but I still love you. Love kind of like involves perspectives amid things where you might say, oh, I was hoping we wouldn't have to deal with that again. But I still love you. Okay, my perspective was should be done with it by now, but we're not. Okay, we'll go through it again. Enduring all things means often doing it yet again. You're thinking, it seems like by now we should be through this. But I love you, I'm still in. It's not figure it out yourself now and call me when you finally get it. I'm still in. Love endures. Just keeps putting up with things. You know, keeps hanging on. So the labor that love does, love is patient, waits. Love is kind, it gives, it sends something your way, some good thing. Love is not provoked. Love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Love bears, carries things. Love believes, it remembers kind of like the difference that God can make. It hopes, it knows that what the future can be is not yet known and will be decisive. Love endures, puts up with things. Maybe for somebody you have to do all of those things. You have to be patient and kind and not get provoked and not take into account and bear and believe and hope and endure. You got to do all those things. Do all those things. Maybe for a person it's important to focus on just one of those things. You know, that person who always pushes your buttons. You got to figure out how not to be provoked by the fact that they push your buttons. So it's important to figure that one out, you know, in relationship to loving that person. Again, perhaps you're tempted to say, well, Roger, that sounds like a lot of work. It is a lot of work. But if the Apostle Paul followed you around for a month, it would be pretty cool if he sent a letter thanking God for you and says, I'm keeping in mind all the hard work that your love is causing you to do. That would be a very cool thing. There's no greater use of the love that's been poured out in your heart by the Spirit of God than to be a good lover. There's no greater use. So to be a good lover, you have to be willing and know how to do the labor of love. However that might find expression. Maybe I got you thinking about things I didn't even say. But let love move you to do work. Whatever is appropriate. Just like it moved the Lord. Because of his love. Did things that we're glad he did those, that labor. Did those things. So let your own love cause you to work. Cause you to work hard.